Welcome into a brand new episode of Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. I'm joined by Rob and Chris. We got a few things to talk about today. AEW, ex New Japan Pro Wrestling, had a show a couple weeks ago in Chicago called Forbidden Door. We'll double back and chat about that. We'll also get bold predictions now that we are in the second half of 2022. These things fly by very quickly, so we'll talk about what we think will pop off in the second half of the year. We'll also go back to 2006. We did a pay-per-view last time that we were on. We got a pay-per-view this time. It's Vengeance 2006. We're getting ready to talk about in just a bit. But let's start with the pay-per-view we just had over the weekend, Money in the Bank, this past Saturday. Unobjectively a better show than what UFC did across the street, but
yeah,
you can't necessarily plan for that, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think, like, damn, actually, you can compare the main events, because, I mean, like, to be honest with you, you can say the Adesanya's fight was boring, but what Adesanya fight isn't boring, okay? That's his style. He's willing to take it all five rounds and just dominate you, and that's what he did. I think he won all five rounds on the scorecard against Jared Cannonier on Saturday. But you might be able to say, when it comes to main events, it was either on par or worse. With the ending, with Theory ended up holding the Money in the Bank briefcase just a few short hours after losing the United States Championship to Bobby Lashley. They pulled the double-double. You know, they got the belt off of him. They just put another prize, a bigger prize on him. Nobody's rocking with it. Not a single solitary soul to be found is rocking with it.
Yeah, and I mean, I do want to get into that real quick, just before anything else, like, because you heard the reaction Theory got. Like, I don't think it's all from, like, the Twitter stuff and, you know, the other bad stuff about him. I think, you know, he is maybe just someone that people don't like. You know, being Vince's, like, handpicked guy, I think, makes him a natural heel. So I've been kind of struggling this week to be like, you know, is he actually a heel, or what kind of heat does he actually have? And, I mean, I don't like him. He's not for me, but, like, it's getting over, I guess, as a heel, but then, you know, there's a slippery slope to that, too.
Right. Right.
I think a lot of the heat, you know, when he came out, might have just been like, oh, there's this big surprise, but it's Theory. And I mean, there are only so many people it could have been, but, like,
but yeah, still, yeah, like, it's very flat when, you know, you are expecting an eighth person to come in. Granted, like you said, who the fuck else is it going to be? Right, but it is very just like, really, wow, that's what we're doing when Theory comes out. And then it's almost like, well, why else is Theory here?
Yeah,
he's not here to lose, he's going to win. And you just have a nothing burger, like, you can do whatever in that match, it wasn't gonna matter.
Yeah, and that was kind of the other thing. Like, I didn't really like the men's match, and I don't know how much of that was just kind of knowing who was gonna win, because I'm sure it was fine.
I think it was fine. In my opinion, I think it's one of the weaker men's ladder matches that they've had, which is weird because the field is filled with people who are actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bit of a surprise. I think the thing with Theory is just it came off a little too contrived.
Yeah.
And just kind of out of nowhere. And this is where I think that it hurts them. I know that they're getting all this money from Peacock. I get it. Whatever. This is where it hurts them to not have backstage skits, because this could have just been accomplished in a backstage skit.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go through the window dressing here just for it to be Theory. They do that a lot of times where they do a lot of surprises or mystery partners or opponents or whatever, and it's just someone on the roster already. You don't need to do that and go through that element of a surprise for a guy who was just on the show about an hour and a half ago or whatever it was that Lashley had beaten. All that he would have to do is just whine about it or something to them, and they could be like, okay, whatever, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could be like, okay, he's Vince's handpicked guy, whatever. I get it. I get the aspect. This, I think, is another just example of just maybe the existing disconnect between internet wrestling fans, just people who go to WWE shows, and who they're trying to cater to and market.
Yeah, but they were booing him too.
No, I know. They were booing him too. That's not My thing is just like how much interest that I personally have for this versus everyone else's consensus interest.
In That's it. Fair. I mean, he's a weird pick to win too because he's not going to beat Brock or Roman.
He's
going
to hold on to it for a while.
Yeah, he's going to hold on to it properly. It's close to the full calendar year is humanly possible.
Yeah. Because like maybe he'll cash in on Drew if Drew ends up winning and then Cody will take it from Theory. But like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, he doesn't seem like he's connecting. Like,
it would make a lot more sense if you had the title separated. But right now, they're united on Roman's shoulders. And until they're not, I don't see a pathway towards Austin Theory getting the belt. Because in this, actually, just to just hammer home something that I've been feeling for a minute, but most recently, not since he's been away for the last month, I'm more certain than ever that we don't need Rock Roman next year.
I don't think so either.
I'm okay if they do not do Rock Roman in Los Angeles next year, because that's not a match that you definitively have to do in Los Angeles. Now, of course, Rock's 50. The older that man's getting, the worse that match is going to be, sure. Mm. But if we don't ever get it, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, but it's also not like he's not going to stay in shape for the next... he's not going to make any different movies than the type he's making for at least, you know...
Well, of course not. But the point I'm trying to make is that that's not a match that, like, absolutely needs to happen now. Yeah, what I think needs to happen is Cody getting that shot at WrestleMania and winning the belt. That's where, just going off pure wrestling logic, that's where we're headed until April. And then you come out of April and then, okay, he gets a couple of months of a run with the belt. He's established as a champion. Then it's time for Theory to take the belt on him, get the cash in, win the belt, not only get him more heel heat and now he has the title, but then Cody is also back on the babyface run. This is just how I plan it out in my head. It's probably not going to go that way, but it would be a lot easier if those belts were separated to say, okay, well, yeah, Theory has an open lane towards the one that Roman's not holding or the one that Cody is not earmarked for. You know, we don't have that right now. So right now we're just going purely off of what we believe should happen. We don't even know if Theory might end up cashing it in. We think he's McMahon's golden boy, but we've seen before that sometimes the briefcase goes on somebody that is not ready for it yet, and they cash it in. It doesn't happen. So it's a lot of premature what ifs right now with Theory having the Money in the Bank. And while like even I'm not like going crazy for it, I do see the value in them having it, and I think it's going to do wonders for Theory. Even if people don't want Theory to have it, we're here now, and I think it's going to do wonders for him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But yeah, I mean, again, like, the match was kind of whatever. It was a little disappointing, I think. Not showing Omos getting up from all the ladders was a bad decision. They should have showed that.
I mean, bad at production.
Also, on the powerbomb spot, they almost missed the table with him because they just threw him.
The velocity on that was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the show, to me, kind of started off really well and then kind of had a lull in the middle I like Lashley and Theory.
Went a little too long.
Yeah, it was a little long. Bianca and Carmelo was just kind of a Bianca showcase, which is fine. And then the first half of the tag match was very bad, but they made up for it. It was slow.
Hell, you're the one who likes FTR.
Yes.
No disrespect.
That's fair. I mean, that's
just... They were obviously building towards a long match.
Yeah, but these teams aren't that, though.
But that's fine. They can work that kind of style of match and have it still be excellent, which I think it was. I think that was one of the best matches of the entire year in a year where I think there's been a lot of great tag teams.
Yeah, that's
fair. Yeah, this is the tag team entry into the best match of the year card so far. And you know, everyone's so just eager to break up the Street Profits, and I don't think that necessarily has to happen And if not right now, like, if ever, why are we always, we tried so hard to do it with New Day, it didn't happen. Why can't Tez and Angelo Dawkins just wind up being great on their own? I think Tez is going to be that. Angelo has made significant strides over the last couple of years.
And oh,
he in his own right can be a really solid mid-card hand for them. But, you know, those two are going to be fucking fantastic in whatever they have coming up for them, whether it's in a year from now or a couple of years. I'm just so excited to see them together, separate, but I don't think that there needs to be like a full-on like turn split, like, oh, we need Dawkins to turn, he's angry, what for, what's the motivation? Like it,
yeah, and I mean, even just not to fully interrupt you here, but he's not even the one who takes the pins. Montez takes the pins more than Dawkins does in that team, and I don't understand. I guess it's reflexive maybe, but also it's not actually, you're not like watching this properly. I don't think you think that, you know, Dawkins is going to get Jannetty or whatever, because again, he's not the loser of the team. No, no disrespect. The guy that everyone wants to be the big star, to be fair, does a lot of big spots and whatnot. Does have his big, his frog splash. He's the one, when they lose, he takes the pins.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could maybe just keep him in a tag team and let him do singles matches as well.
And I think, I honestly think they will. I think first of all, I think it's clever, I guess, that they keep talking about the rumors of dysfunction between them. They did so on NXT last night, which I thought was a clever little play.
Interesting.
But I wonder if that's being laid on so thick that it's a red herring, and maybe the dysfunction is actually coming from the current champs. But that's just a, you know, harebrained idea that I think could come from Paul Heyman. Put all this, you know, paranoia out there about them to avoid talking about what's actually going on in our own house.
Yeah. No, that's fair. No, very good match, though.
Yes, excellent.
Very solid. I don't think we have any other matches to really care about off that card except for the women's. So let's wrap up with the women's Money in the Bank and our newest Money in the Bank winner, who you knew. There's no fucking way you're coming out of that match and not cashing in an hour later. We got through the Raw match and everyone's like, oh, see, Becky or Bianca won. Bianca won. We ain't getting the cash in today. Yeah, you forgot the other match still had to happen. And, you know, it. I'm elated for Liv. I truly am. I don't think there's a single solitary fucking person on planet Earth who is upset that Liv Morgan is world champion, because she rose to that point. She truly did. And I do want to acknowledge that. Now that we've come down from the excitement of Liv winning and Wynn getting her flowers on Monday, well-deserved, we can actually sit here and be critical of WWE for the way that they have done this, right? Because I feel like we really didn't need to do that now, right? And I also feel like if we were going to do it, it might have been good for Ronda to, I don't know, be mad, beat her ass afterwards, fuck shaking a hand.
I don't know if they're going to do that Friday, but that part was a little weird. They probably didn't have to have Ronda in there for as long as they did.
I mean, to be fair, like, it's not, I think this is something that they're probably going to, you know, let percolate here. And I think we'll get a follow-up on SmackDown, even if they slowly turn things here. But honestly, I think they did need to do this. Because, and this is just a personal evaluation, and I don't know anything, obviously, but you can kind of read between the lines here, I think. Look, the depth on SmackDown in their women's division is self-inflicted, obviously. And yes, they are hurting because Sasha and Naomi aren't there. I don't know when they're going to be back. They're probably going to be back. I'm not subscribing to the idea right now, at least, that they're gone, because it's been too long. And without any updates, I have nothing to presume, like, either left or right. But look, that six-woman tag that they did on Friday on SmackDown, where they did Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, where they had Alexa, Asuka, and Liv against Raquel, Shotzi, and Lacey. Raquel, Shotzi, and Lacey, God bless Shotzi, you know, she's working through injury, she's obviously going through rough shit, people are stupid. But they looked out of place. They just did.
Well, and yeah, even and in the even in the even in the ladder match.
The ladder match, they looked out of place as well. So you combine all those factors. If Charlotte's not coming back yet, and if Bayley's not ready yet, which she's obviously not, but she's teasing that she's coming back soon, you don't have much option. You could do Ronda Shayna, but who cares about? But I don't mean this to be disrespectful. But right now, why should the viewing audience care about Shayna Baszler? Yes, they could do something in a night that changes that, but who's she gonna beat?
They should have used the Natty Flute a few times.
They definitely failed in that. I'm surprised that they didn't. However, I mean, when you look at all the options, and I don't blame them for putting Liv on SmackDown now, which is a super hot, super popular wrestler. So obviously, he's gotten so much better over the past couple of months. And SmackDown needs a good babyface right now. Ronda's obviously popular, but I don't know if it was, you know, working that much. And it's not really, I guess it's not necessarily her fault that her opponents and potential opponents stunk or are below sea level in terms of being ready. But, you know, I mean, I can get the argument for switching Liv over because they needed to switch somebody.
Yeah.
Because that Raw roster, it's unbelievable. But they needed to put somebody over.
Yeah, and I guess
they could not persist that much longer.
Yeah, I guess it's fresher than if you were to do Carmella.
Yeah,
it's fresher than you know, just giving Becky and sending Becky back to SmackDown.
Or sending Alexa over. Either I mean, yeah, there you could make something work with that just because there's personal animosity that you could make since, you know, Alexa did get those concussions because of Ronda or whatever. So you could have done that, but I don't blame them for going with Liv.
You would have been retreading.
Yes.
So yeah, exactly. You know, not sitting here and saying like the right move wasn't to put Money in the Bank and on her, because yes, it was. I just feel like it was a little bit rushed in the way that they did it. And then after the fact, if you are going to like fuck playing this slow game, if you are going to have Ronda come out on Friday, I'd rather you just have Liv get in a feud with Lacey Evans. Give me Liv Morgan and Lacey Evans at SummerSlam. That gets me up a lot more than, you know, if on Friday you were to bring out Ronda and all of a sudden Ronda's mad and pissed and getting her revenge. Fuck that. Liv Morgan is on a very short list. She is on an extremely short list of women that have gotten a pinfall victory or a victory at all on record against Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. That's what? 3 in WWE, 2 in UFC. That's a very short fucking list. So if she was going to be upset or if anything was going to happen after that match, fuck shaking a hand and walking away. You need to be upset. You need to be a fucking savage bitch. And we didn't get that from you. Now, if you come back Friday, guess what? I don't give a shit. Not like I gave a shit about your face run the last couple months anyway.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And I mean,
I think the problem with doing something like Liv and Lacey, though, is that it screams Bayley Ember from 3 years ago. And I think they need to avoid that and to get her on the right path, because even after Bayley's Money in the Bank cash in May of 2019, the first 4 months were pretty just okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't, I mean, they did the Alexa feud, but they didn't leave that much on the vine for it. There was too much there that they didn't go into. And then they did the Ember stuff, which was the third most important match of the women on that card, and then the two Charlotte matches, yeah, it did lead to a great heel turn, but they were both kind of just it. So I think if, and they have this position nicely, I think, for Liv, where if she's able to get, you know, a quote-unquote real match victory over Ronda, then she could feud with Charlotte if they wanted to, and if they're, I doubt that this is going to happen just because I know how Charlotte Flair works, but they could put her over her. And then they can have a feud with Bayley. So they can make Liv Morgan a made woman very quickly and very progressively over the next couple of months before the draft resets everything. And then you can do whatever after that. I don't care. But I'm not expecting this reign to be a marathon or anything. But I would like to see them, you know, give her opponents to make her certified.
Yeah.
Because they did it with Big E last year with Drew and you know, and Lashley and whatnot. So they should do the same by her.
Yeah,
and
no,
they're in position.
That's fair. Yeah, we'll just you know, have to see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll definitely see how it goes. But I'm pleased that they did that. I think that was clearly, obviously the right move. And, you know, it had been written for a couple weeks now. She beat Rhea on May 30th in a singles match. Earlier this year, she pinned Sasha. She pinned Shotzi in that tag match. She pinned Alexa in a quick match last week on Raw. So they had her beat a lot of big talents. She outlasted Becky Lynch and, you know, took her off visually from winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. And then, like you said, she joined a short list of people who pinned Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
It's a lot of good things for her right there in, you know, just the blink of an eye. When mm-hmm. they want to make someone, they can do it really quickly, which is kind of what makes things frustrating sometimes. But they knew what they were doing the entire time. I've kind of spotted it. If we'd gotten in a show before Money in the Bank, I would have brought that up and predicted it. But yeah, kudos to Liv. I mean, she's done everything right so far, and I hope that, you know, that continues upward.
Yes, so our next pay-per-view coming up in a couple weeks is SummerSlam from Nashville. We already know the main event, and same main event we had a couple months ago at WrestleMania, which was the same main event we had at three WrestleManias, and one-on-one and at least one other SummerSlam, and Fatal 4-Way in another. I'm tired. I'm fucking tired.
I mean, listen, last man standing, that's cool. I mean, I don't always like last man standing matches. They are generally about 50-50 if they're good or not.
Roman's last man standing was what, Jay?
Yes. Or Owens.
That's right. He had one with Owens.
And it was very good until the ending didn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's been some good ones. I think these two can have a good one. I don't know if there was an injury in that WrestleMania match or what. It kind of got weird and then ended abruptly. So I think, you know, if they get some time and they get to do some stuff here, it'll be fine. Like, I'm not super high on it, so I can't imagine too many other people are, just based on, you know, how I feel about both the guys. I think everyone just kind of wants to see something else. And, you know, it would have been nice to see something else for Brock, I think. Some non-title stuff. There's a lot of guys on Raw that he could work. And, you know, kind of is what it is, though. I think Randy getting hurt kind of affected the plans there a little
bit. Cody getting hurt fucked things up.
Well, I don't know about that one as much. But
I mean, obviously he wasn't going to be part of the title picture. But
yeah, he wasn't going to be in the title picture yet, though.
The fact that Cody is not there, you needed that match to be an attraction.
Because
if Cody's there, you probably can get away with building up Riddle into a loss to Roman. Now you really need that match to sell people. And for me, it's like, you're having another stadium show where that's the last thing we see. That's not really a good selling point. Give me, you want to fly to Nashville, buy a ticket, go sit in a decaying stadium to go watch this product when I can just go do that shit at home or at a, you know, a house party or whatever and still have fun and spend a lot less money.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too, because, you know, we're driving out for Raw at the Garden, which is a few days before SummerSlam, and I'm like, well, Tennessee's on the way back, you know, we go to SummerSlam on the way back, and it's not super captivating from a point where, like, I want to go be in the building in the 95-degree heat where the stadium's falling apart, and, you know, it's hard to find hotels in Nashville and all that, and it's not that it wouldn't get me in the building, it just, you know, it's not enough to get me
the circumstances building. Of it. Like, you're willing to pass. You know, it's not just Roman Brock, although Roman Brock is the main attraction. There's a lot of people, we're going to talk about Forbidden Door in just a bit. There's a lot of people that will not be on this show. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Naomi, possibly Ronda Rousey, Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes. You're missing a few other. Who?
Yeah, Bayley doesn't look like Cena's going to be there at this point.
Okay, I was going to hold off on both of those, you know, two TBDs, but, you know, that's another. That's their TBDs. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Big E is still on the shelf. Godspeed to Big E. We're still hoping for a fast recovery. Yep. It's a lot of folks who are not going to be on this card. And why would I shell out my money for this to go to this live? I just don't know. Maybe this is the only selling point they have left. I don't know, but
yeah, it's interesting.
We'll do it.
You know, when Brock comes back, like when they announce him for a show, it does move a bunch of tickets. Like, yeah. There's no denying that. Roman's probably the top draw in the industry now. They finally made that happen after all their years of trying, and you know, credit to them for that. But yeah, I mean, it felt like WrestleMania would have been a fine send off. Again, I know I just said the match got kind of weird at the end, and that's fine. It is what it is. But like,
well, again, they were downward, and I'm sure that he was probably the guy for SummerSlam.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I guess I went on that just to bring it back home. I went on that to say, like, if they had did this in Providence, Rhode Island, or if they had did this in some, you know, whatever pay per view in an arena, folks probably wouldn't care as much, or like I wouldn't be too down on this match. But it is SummerSlam; it is your second biggest show. And it is going to be one of your biggest matches of the year. We're seeing it again. This is supposed to be, what, the greatest WrestleMania match of all time?
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest SummerSlam match of all time now. It's just like, it matters more because it's SummerSlam. Had they did this on a regular-ass show, fine, cool, get it out of the way. But it's SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, you know, it's clearly their second biggest show of the year now. And it's just a rematch from WrestleMania, you know?
SummerSlam Backlash.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because also they're going to probably end up doing Becky Bianca too. So, which, I mean, with respect to that, I think there's only one way to do that.
Wait, do we got to add Rhea to that list now too? Because I was expecting Rhea to be back.
Come up on Raw.
I would give it another week, I would say, before I would determine anything. It all really hinges on where Becky is going.
Well, yeah, I mean...
If they don't give her the title shot, it's obviously going to be Rhea, because there's no one else. So...
Well, they had some stuff with Alexa and Bianca, so that might be a fallback if they're going to do bad. If they're going to do...
Because they said that they asked if she was going for the SmackDown title.
Yeah.
And they did the stuff with Alexa and Asuka, which you could easily do with the pay-per-view. I think that would be a unique opportunity for both. Because I know Asuka hasn't wrestled in many SummerSlams. In fact, I think she's only wrestled in one. It was in 2020.
Yeah.
So that would be a unique thing that they could do if they decide to, you know, to go with Becky Bianca again, which I think that if they do that, they need to just have Bianca beat her in like less than 26 seconds. Just go full repeat with it and just have Becky be completely broken after that.
It's in Tennessee too. Like, you might as well.
Bianca's gonna
get the pop of the night.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. Just have her overwhelm her. Make it seem like Tennessee's playing, like, I don't know, a SoCon team. Whatever. Just have Bianca beat Becky's ass and just have her win. Clean as sheet. That's fine. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, SummerSlam goes, I get the fatigue to Brock Roman. I totally do. I just hope that, I think my only hope for this match, can they just show some fucking color?
I hope so.
I know that they don't like using blood, but my God, some feuds just need it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them. You're going to go full violence here with the Last Man Standing match. Please, please have some color. That's all I ask.
Yeah, it's calling for it.
You don't have to do it again for only like 5 years. Just do it here now and I'll be a happy.
Let's switch promotions. Let's go over to All Elite Wrestling. They had two major shows last week. Forbidden Door was in Chicago on Sunday. And they turned around and did Blood and Guts last Wednesday in Detroit. I still haven't watched Blood and Guts. And y'all can have that one. But, Forbidden Door had caught the injury bug pretty severely, and the card showed that. While you can definitely point to some things at Forbidden Door that weren't great, I was in the building and I was sports entertained. And I think at the end of the day, when you're in the building and you're sports entertained, that's all that matters. Still, though, Jon Moxley's your world champ now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's really the only thing of merit. Oh, wait, yeah, Pac is a champion now.
Pac,
whatever you call him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looked like a fun show. The crowd looked to be phenomenal. All night they were popping for everything.
That first match, the triple threat with Appreciation Society, and there was like what Yuta Kingston and Shota grew up. Like the last time I seen Shota Aminu, he was a baby, and that man's ready to Ray to be a, he's not a young boy anymore. It's pretty cool. Yeah, they were hot as fuck for that match. The IWGP US title match with Orange Cassidy and Broke Boy.
Oh, yeah, Will Ospreay.
Yeah, there you go. That was a fucking heater. Yeah, I think that we're seeing that, like, yeah, they kind of, like, not strapping a rock in Orange Cassidy, but they're definitely giving Orange Cassidy a little bit of a run.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, it just looked like a pretty good show. Like, I wasn't super excited for it going into it because I don't really watch New Japan like that. But, like, from what I saw, it was pretty good. The Sting stuff was all a lot of fun. Jumping off the top of the thing and then no selling the super kick and the place just kind of coming undone. Yeah. It was cool. I mean, I don't know that... I think my thing with this show, and I thought it immediately after watching it too, is could they have just put up like 10 match graphics on Twitter and not sacrificed a month of their television and had the same result? Because
probably,
you know, everyone that bought tickets bought them before, you know, the card was announced anyway, for the most part. I know the resale market kind of tanked the weekend of, but
big time.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, That's kind of the balance that they're going to have to find, I think, where maybe, you know, you don't focus all of your TV to it and kind of turn off people who aren't super interested in it. But, yeah, I think it was a success overall, though.
Yeah.
I can't really comment on it just because I haven't really seen it. I haven't gone on my way to see it, but I'm glad everyone was happy at the end of the day because I know the build was kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, I don't know what the fuck happened. Actually, I was watching Blood and Guts and I decided, yeah, I'm going to go take a nap. And then I slept through.
It was good. You know, they made Claudio look like a big deal, which is what you should do when you bring in a new guy. You know, they probably did a little much with it. Every War Games match now is 45 or 50 minutes. And that's not how they originally, you know, were set up to be. Right. But the NXT ones kind of changed that, too. And it just, you know, it's fine. It's different from what it used to be. Like, that's kind of like how Hell in a Cell matches are now, too, where you got to keep that in mind and just realize it's not, you know, 20 or 30 years ago anymore.
I think I just didn't understand, like, why did they need to leave the cage?
Yeah, that part too. I mean, like,
that was the only weird thing I found.
Yeah.
The match was what it was. It probably appealed to the people that it wanted to appeal to, so, you know.
Yeah.
Alright, we are in the back half of 2022. That means it's prediction time, so I want you guys to give one bold prediction. I don't give a damn about the promotion. I don't care. Male, female, tag team. Doesn't matter. Give me one bold prediction for the rest of 2022.
Let's see. I think that Sasha and probably Naomi are back by Clash at the Castle at the latest at this point.
Is that bold?
Technically, yeah. They haven't been seen anywhere.
So it kind of qualifies.
Go deeper.
I'll keep thinking, but you know,
I'm trying to think of one that would be good.
That's the thing, like, you know, I don't think Cody's gonna be back before the end of the year. I mean, I think he'll be back at the Rumble. It's not like a ton of big returns otherwise, that's the thing. Like, that's just the one that jumped out at me, really.
Chris?
I guess see, because it would be nice if, you know, we knew, like, you know, who's a free agent that could show up and wherever. So,
well, you could make it about MJF, I guess. That'd be something.
He's probably not going to go
anywhere. Yeah.
I don't think.
Make it about Paige. Her contract's up. Predict something.
Well,
about
yeah,
her.
I mean, she's going to AEW. I don't need to say that twice. Okay. Here's a bold one I just thought of. I don't think Mox is going to be the one who's going to be facing Punk when Punk comes back for the, you know, undisputed AEW title.
That's fair.
It depends on, you know, how good he is, but I guess I'll still stick to it because I don't know how good Punk is. Punk Bryan.
Yeah, it feels like they got to run that at some point. Especially...
They might have to run it at some point. You could do it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you... I mean, I guess you could probably have somebody, if like, you were triple threat, take the fall. So, because I know, obviously, Ryan and Mox are in the same faction or what have you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that the undisputed title match is going to be Punk Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bold one for you.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't really be too bold in WWE booking right now. So,
mm-hmm.
Because I mean, most of the stuff we can probably act, which I think is fine, can accurately predict it. But there's too many constraints for a lot of people where it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, agreed. With it's hard to handicap WWE right now, so I'm not going to handicap WWE anymore. I'm going to go turn over to friends at AEW, and I think there will be a big return coming later on in the year, because I think that at some point in 2022, Kenny Omega will be AEW World Champion. I do think that he will be back before the end of the year, whether or not Punk and Brian or Mox or whoever have their championship match, interim championship match. I think at some point Kenny will make his return, and it's really hard for Kenny not to be immediately inserted into the title picture when he comes back, because last time we saw him, he was on the run of a fucking lifetime. As much as, like, okay, I wasn't watching Impact or going to watch AAA or whatever like that, Kenny was still putting in heater after heater every Wednesday in front of, like, two people. So I do think, like, when we come back, it's very likely that Kenny, or when Kenny comes back, very likely he will be champion, because he will be in the mix in AEW. That's for damn certain. And I do think, like, looking at AEW, like, yeah, there's some guys in AEW, but how many, like, championship-level people? We named two.
Yeah.
Like, I like Adam Page.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't think Hangman is that guy.
No. Yeah, that's fair, and I don't think, you know, Jericho's probably not going to get
it. He's not that guy anymore either. Eddie Kingston's a wild card.
Get it for, yeah, like, a short run. But yeah, in terms of, like, just kind of their upper main event guys, like, not a ton of them.
Cesaro is a wild card, just or Claudio, which, hey, by the way, Claudio Castagnoli is in AEW now. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Did you hear his theme music?
I like his theme music.
Yeah, it's very good.
I fucking hate it. When that shit blared through the arena, I'm just like, really? That's it? Word? Word. Okay. But hey, I digress. Like, that's a wild card. Claudio, if you build him up right, he's somebody that can come in and, you know, he got an insane pop. He's someone that can come in and possibly be a guy for you. It's just how you build him up. But right now, like, you got three in a possible in AEW. So it's very likely when Kenny comes back, he's gonna be right in that picture. So there we go. Let's go back to the year 2006. Just came off ECW One Night Stand. We have a new WWE champion. His name is Rob Van Dam. And he's going to be leading a brand new promotion, which is actually an old promotion that really should never have been brought back in the first place. It's like, what? The first of 2 weeks of him as champion. So enjoy the reign, Robert. Yeah, we got a couple weeks, an added hour of television every week because of this new ECW show. And then we'll clean it up at the end with Vengeance 2006.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can get started here. Top five songs. Bad Day is down to number five. It's Going Down is up to number four. Great song.
It's Going Down.
Promiscuous is at number three.
Wait, who made It's Going Down?
Young Jock.
Oh, okay. See, I had like five different It's Going Downs. Like, I had Timber, I had Leah. Like, okay, Young, yeah, great fucking song.
Riding's down to two, and Hips Don't Lie is up to number one from number nine.
Yeah, which, he's
that's a big song.
That was a big song in summer 2006. That is correct.
For movies, Da Vinci Code's down to five. The Omen is down to four. X-Men is down to three. The Breakup is down to two. And Cars is debuting at number one.
I hate Cars.
Yeah. I never seen Cars.
I never have either.
Not great. It's just not an interesting Pixar movie. When you think of Pixar movies, it's really not a good one.
Yeah, that was kind of the first one where I was like, yeah, I don't really need to see this, I don't think. And,
yeah, it was not must-watch.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so we made the trip from Hammerstein Ballroom night before for ECW One Night Stand over to the Bryce Jordan Center on the campus of Penn State University.
Ooh, that's like at least a 5-hour drive, I feel.
Oh yeah, that's a it's just in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Right.
And Penn State or around Penn State before. So it's So we moved there. We open with an in memoriam for John Tenta, who died way too young.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
rest in peace, Earthquake. Yep. Rest in peace, Golga.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So after the signature, ECW's Paul Heyman is here for a pre-tape. Said that even though Edge interfered and Paul had to make the count, the match was contested under ECW rules, which basically means there are no rules.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision stands, and Rob Van Dam is the new WWE champion. Tomorrow night on the Sci-Fi Network is the world premiere of ECW, and the WWE title will be rechristened as the ECW Championship, and Rob Van Dam will defend that title against Edge at Vengeance, who is still the number one contender. And Paul would like Edge and Lita to join them tomorrow on the first episode of ECW. We begin with a match between Randy Orton and Kane. They fight up the ramp. Both got countered out. Randy went for his RKO, but Kane pushed him down on the metal grates, and then Fake Kane came up through the stage and threw Kane right off of it.
Yeah.
So this was just all just an angle.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically protected Orton to keep him afloat.
Yes.
And then Charlie Haas came out to apologize to Lillian Garcia. She accepted his apology. Viscera did not, and Viscera beat Charlie Haas up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning of a very dumb anger.
Yes.
And then there's an ECW commercial. They come back. Jerry Lawler says that there's no way he's watching. He discussed Taz choking him out. And then the same Sandman, Kane, and Eugene as well. So they're very anti-ECW on the broadcast tonight.
Yes. And then we go to the back, and Eugene's had his bandage, and he's talking to Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's worried about Hacksaw because he's got a match with Umaga tonight. And Hacksaw says it'll be fine. It's not going to be fine. You're in trouble, man. Vince does a little State of WWE thing, which is basically just him running down Triple H, who will face the Spirit Squad in a gauntlet match later.
If I had to guess, there was a State of the Union address this week.
Yeah, probably some. I mean, those are usually in January, but yeah, there's probably something.
There's probably something because they always did that kind of stuff when the State of the Union was going on.
Yeah. Tori beat Candice in a Wet and Wild match. Spirit Squad says tonight will be game over. We start the gauntlet match. Vince kicks out the ref at the start. Then eventually it becomes kind of more of a handicap match and a gauntlet match. And Vince tells the Spirit Squad to break his neck, but Shawn Michaels throws one of them out from backstage and comes out and they clear the ring. So DX is finally back.
Yes. They've been, I feel like they played the long game here, obviously, going back to WrestleMania where, Michaels did the suck it across the shop. So what do you guys think? How do you think about the past 2 months that we've built up to this moment and to the moment itself?
I still think that, it's a great... When it finally happens, when the reuniting, finally christens, it is a great moment. It's finally getting to see Shawn and Triple H have that moment, have that reaction together, throw out the X. If everything just ends there, I think, my memories and my love for DX never changes. It's great. I think everything after changes my viewpoint at this moment, but the moment itself is great.
Yeah, that makes sense. Spirit Squad's gonna wrestle DX at Vengeance. We get Umaga against Hacksaw Jim, and Eugene slides the 2x4 in, and Umaga breaks it over his head. And hits a Simone Spike for the win, continues to beat down Hacksaw, so Umaga's just rolling through people so far.
It's a shock they didn't do Umaga Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. The thing that I'm liking as this act goes up the ladder of prominence is the crowd, doing the Armando Alejandro Estrada bit.
That's cool.
Amazing.
Love it. I love when crowds do that, and I love how you can see it develop, too. It's really cool. That's what makes these rewatches really cool.
Mick Foley comes out, starts talking about ECW, says the old Mick Foley is back. New chapter, he's turning the page right here. The University of Pennsylvania, which is not where they are. Ric Flair comes out, says he's been wanting to talk to Foley for 3 years, doesn't care about last night, wants to talk about the two of them. You know, Flair wanted to come out for 3 years and say it, that Foley's a glorified stuntman. Flair compares himself to Joe Paterno.
Talk about things that did not age well and somehow still seem to act.
You know, Mick says these people don't care about him like that, and they do care about Mick still, which kills Flair. They keep going back and forth, and then Mick says that at Vengeance, they're going to have a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Relaxed.
I can dig it.
Johnny Nitro's in action against Carlito, and Shelton on commentary, and he saved Nitro from the backcracker, and Nitro was able to pin Carlito for the win.
I like this match.
Yeah, it was good.
I like this match, and I like this combination. These three are going to have a hell of a match at Vengeance.
Yes. Mickey's with Todd Grisham and says that everyone who has a problem with her suffers a bad fate. You know, Ashley broke her leg and Trish hurt lost her shoulder title. And lost her title. And
yep.
Beth has a broken jaw now.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton challenged Kurt Angle for Vengeance. Sure.
Just wants a rematch on WWE turf. Makes sense.
Yeah. The Highlanders are coming. Went to a hotel. That was fun. Fun yeah. segment there.
These vignettes are kind of funny.
Yeah.
They were really good vignettes.
They were, yeah.
Maria's with Edge, but Lita tells her to take a hike, and Lita does the interview instead. Edge says that he accepts Paul Heyman's invitation. He will be at ECW tomorrow night.
Yes, and then we get our main event of the evening, John Cena versus Edge. ECW's Balls Mahoney, Justin Credible, and Stevie Richards are watching from the front row. Cena went right for Edge. Edge poked him in the eye. Cena eventually caught up to him, bringing Bart back in the ring. Lita came in, caused a disqualification. They fought. Edge strategically went near the ECW crowd, the ECW people. And Cena, you know, got a punch thrown at him by Justin Credible. Edge got away. Then Cena hit some ridiculous chair shots on all three men to end the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Cena says that he's going to ECW.
Good job of them picking Balls Mahoney, Justin Credible, and who?
Stevie Richards.
Yeah, three dudes that were designed to get their ass beat. Like, they're getting cheered not because of who they are, but because who they're representing.
Exactly.
Good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so we moved to ECW June 13th from Trenton.
The good old Sovereign Bank Arena, a venue I've never been to. I think I've driven by it like once or twice. I don't usually. Trenton is too far away from.
Yeah, Trenton's a lot closer to me, and maybe one day I'll go to a game in Trenton. Just like, don't feel like driving
out. Yeah, that's fair.
Never did see the Trenton one. Can't say I ever did.
We open the show with Paul Heyman, who introduces Rob Van Dam, comes out with the WWE title. Thanks the fans, and he hopes John Cena shows up tonight and helps him celebrate because RVD is extremely excited about being ECW champion. Heyman presents RVD with the new title, and RVD likes it, but he's going to keep the WWE Championship because it spins. Edge and Lita are here. Edge says that he respects RVD. You know, they both won the Money in the Bank ladder match, cash in, and won the title.
On John Cena.
Yeah. They broke the glass ceiling because of their ability. It'll be an honor to face off at Vengeance, and then Edge goes to leave, but instead he spears RVD.
Oldest trick in the book. How do you fall for that? Come on.
And
that's where you got to hit a Van Damme.
Well, yeah. Edge leaves through the crowd, but Cena pops up, and they start brawling, and then RVD gets involved, and the ECW locker room comes out to defend RVD.
This is well done.
Yeah.
This is well done. For what they're trying to achieve here, because obviously this is the first episode, want an audience to be brought in, so that's why you tease that Edge and Cena are going to be there. Get them involved right away.
Yeah.
So this was good. I, personally, looking back, I didn't really notice it, just because I wasn't really paying attention. I like the side stage here. I like the setup. The camera angles are a little different. The lighting is a little different. It's a little grittier. I don't mind the production.
Yeah,
I don't mind. It's definitely very different from the Raw and SmackDown sets, which were still at this point very unique. So that's probably why they pushed for something like this to happen.
Yeah.
Without using some big, gigantic thing, because since they were doing this, it didn't really mean it's not. The venues that ECW ran.
Yeah. After the break, Paul Heyman tells the locker room that if this is how Cena and Edge want to play, then ECW is going to play, and they are going to Monday Night Raw. So
okay.
We get our first match. A zombie-looking fellow comes out and seems to be a zombie.
Yeah. And they're on sci-fi.
Yeah. And then Sandman comes out and canes him a bunch and gets the win. And this is kind of where you realize there's some warning signs with this show.
This was harmless.
Agree. It's a little bit weird. Look, hey, I remember watching this show vividly. Just like when we talked about when you just talked about the arena, that was one of my main concerns. Is like, how are you guys going to capture the essence of ECW if this is going to be in a larger arena? And they put it in a larger arena, and they tried to just give it the old ECW set and make it feel like ECW. Then they did this shit, and I'm sitting here like, they're just WWE-ing it up.
Yeah.
Completely. So, like, yeah, it's network synergy. Seems like network synergy. But, like, for a pro wrestling crowd, especially a crowd that's supposed to say it's ECW, the writing was on the wall when this aired.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, too, you know, doing it in New Jersey, you probably had a lot of your original ECW fans there. And, you know, just not the best first impression. I do think the second week gets better. We'll get into that in a little bit, yeah. But this first show is rough. Kelly is here. She's an exhibitionist, so stay tuned for that later. That's uncomfortable because she's like 18. Just real awkward.
She was 18, bro. That's
yeah.
That's wild.
Kurt Angle's in action against Just Incredible. Kurt.
It's not the only time it's going to be uncomfortable with
18-year-olds.
Brooke Hogan, for one.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll get into that, too. Kurt gets a quick win with a rear naked choke. So Kurt's getting some new moves. Excited to see how he develops them and keeps going. Paul Heyman says it'll be an extreme battle royal tonight. Anything goes. All weapons are legal. And the winner faces John Cena at Vengeance. They go outside and there's a vampire by the sign for the building. Kelly comes back out and starts to do her show and then just kind of leaves. And then it's time for the Extreme Battle Royal. A lot going on. Big Show eliminates most of the people and he's trying to eliminate Big Guido, and Sabu does the chair jump and takes them both out, and he's going to face John Cena at Vengeance now. So we're getting Cena and Sabu one more time. Yeah, I mean, probably not how I would have laid out the first show, but, you know, I get
it. There's some boo-boos here.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. We move on to SmackDown, which is also in Trenton, because they tape them the same time.
Yes. Yes. Now it's Raw and SmackDown and ECW.
Yeah. Miz runs down the matches. Booker's facing Lashley, and Rey Mysterio will face Gregory Helms. JBL's here, because he's on commentary now, and he's not very good at it.
He's fine here, just because I think it's a different energy.
Yeah,
but I don't think he was very good in, like, you know, the 2010s.
So Rey Mysterio's in action against Gregory Helms and picks up a win. Pretty good match, nice back and forth, and we don't get to see Rey win very often, so that was nice.
Agreed. moving forward here, we did Bobby Lashley versus Booker T. Finlay and Regal attacked Lashley before the match, and Booker joined in. However, Matt Hardy and Gunnar Scott came out for the save. Lashley is with the trainer after the break and told him he had to do what he has to do to get him ready because he still wants Booker T tonight.
Yes.
Ken Kennedy back, and he's beating a jobber. Batista is returning in 3 weeks in Philadelphia, where we last saw him on SmackDown.
Yes.
Sylvain is the ambassador for Quebec now, and wants everyone to come visit Quebec, I should say. The Great Khali beat both Mech Schools, and then Psychosis does not save Super Crazy from getting beat down.
Yeah, there's dissension.
There is dissension in the ranks. Then we do a tag team match with Gunnar Scott and Matt Hardy against Regal and Finlay. JBL said some pretty offensive things on commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessary. Hardy had the upper hand, but then the Leprechaun came and hit him with the shillelagh on the outside, turned the tide. Then they got the shillelagh again, hit Gunnar Scott with it, and got the victory.
So yep.
Just classic healing out there, so nothing wrong with it.
Teddy Long comes into Booker T's locker room, says that Lashley's good to go tonight, so Booker's going to face him in the main event. Booker is not pleased about it, but, you know. Travo comes out and does an in-ring interview with Michael Cole talking about Rey and Batista, and Mark Henry comes out and just beats him up. Just good. Good stuff. Michelle said that Ashley only won the bikini contest last week because Michelle didn't participate in it, and Ashley challenges her to a bikini contest next week, but Michelle doesn't want any part of that, so she's above that. Vito beats a jobber. Still wearing a dress. They're doing that whole thing still. Then we move on to Booker T against Bobby Lashley in the main event. Lashley still managing to sell the knee from earlier. And, you know, Booker's attacking it, but Lashley overcomes the odds and catches Booker while he's going for the scissors kick and hits the Dominator for the win. So, yeah, that was SmackDown. I do want to give some love to Bobby Lashley, though, who I believe right now in 2022 is probably the best he's ever been. Most well-rounded he's ever been. Ready to be a top guy. The guy they wanted him to be, I think, that we're seeing in this run. Yeah.
He's already kind of a killer heel run. Mm-hmm. When he was champion, now he's really, you know, they put the United States Championship on him just because there's nothing else for him to hold. I feel like he's great right now.
Yeah. No, he's awesome. And like I said, you know, they wanted this to happen for so long. And really his whole second run. I mean, everyone remembers the Sami Zayn stuff being bad, but everything since then has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think ever since the match he had with Roman the night after Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
The match that he had, everything since then has been upward, even though those few months for Key and Drew and Corbin were the top heels at Raw were terrible, but
yeah,
not really.
Oh, that's fair. But yeah, we can go into the second week now. Road Warrior Animal and Dustin Rhodes are both released, so they will not be around anymore.
Darn.
Dustin will be back at some point. I think he comes back 2008, 2009 before he leaves again, and then yes, that happened. Top five songs. Riding's down to five. It's Going Down is down to four. Promiscuous is down to three. Hits Don't Lie is down to two. Debuting at number one is Do I Make You Proud by Taylor Hicks, because American Idol ended and he won.
Soul Patrol!
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of where American Idol stopped being like
100%. Jordan Sparks came back and won the next year and tried to save a glimmer of hope that it still had, but nope, Taylor Hicks killed it. That was the fourth? Fifth.
Fifth, it was with Kelly Clarkson, and then
it was the fifth one.
Yes, correct.
Like, damn, that was a quick death.
And still on, so look at that.
Second incarnation. Well, I mean, this is the ECW.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right? Because, like, I'm still watching.
Great comparison.
I think this is, like, didn't Simon leave after the fifth or sixth one, too?
Yeah, Simon left, like, what's the point? Start X Factor.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so by then, it was just, like, what's the point of even following any of this anymore?
Yeah, bingo.
Top five movies, The Breakup is down to five. Debuting at number four is The Lake House. Debuting at number three is Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, which was supposed to be the last Fast and Furious movie. And then they've made seven of them since then. Debuting at number two is Nacho Libre, and sticking at number one is still Cars. A really strong week for movies.
Yeah, and if I could provide a sporting update here. We are in the thick of World Cup play right now.
Yes.
Group stage is still going on. I can't really pick out too many, you know, strong results. I do see the U.S. lost 3-0 to Czech Republic. Ugh. Good Lord. That does not seem great that happened. Apart from that, the NBA Finals is still ongoing here as we head into this week in June. On Sunday, June 18th, in Game 5, Dwayne Wade scored 43 points, including a Finals game record 21 free throws.
Yeah.
Including the winning shots, with 1.9 ticks remaining in the extra session to give the Heat a 3-2 lead going back to Dallas. Jerry Stackhouse did not play after he committed a flagrant foul on Shaq in Game 4. Also, let's see, Jeff Ogilvie won his first major.
Jeff Ogilvie.
2006 U.S. Open. His winning score of 5-over was the highest score to win since the massacre at Wingfoot in 1974 when Hale Irwin shot 7-over par. Let's see. And then on this Monday, before we talk about Raw, the Carolina Hurricanes won 3-1 to win the first Stanley Cup in franchise history.
Yeah.
No, only up until I don't remember a single person who was on that Carolina team.
I think Cam they Ward. Had yeah,
Cam
they
Ward Cam was Ward. The Conn Smythe winner.
Cam Ward, yeah, Cam Ward was the goalie.
I think they had Rob Brind'Amour.
They Brind'Amour definitely had Justin Williams.
Team. Oh yeah, Justin Williams.
Definitely had Justin Williams because that's where his first Mr. Game 7, you know, moniker.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, not bring this up. Let's listen to me.
But yeah, Raw, from Rochester, the Blue Cross Arena or whatever it is.
They don't really run Rochester too often.
They don't. AEW runs it now.
They do. That's where, RIP Brody Lee's from.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember if it was that or Buffalo.
We opened with Vince in his office. You know, 2 weeks ago, Triple H was supposed to join the Kiss My Ass Club. He didn't. Last week, he was supposed to be dismembered, but due to Shawn Michaels, that didn't happen. But Vince is going to get his way this week. Not going to be a DX reunion. There's going to be a DX destruction. Actions speak louder than words, and Vince will show it tonight. A stagehand brings Vince a chicken because he was told Vince loves cocks. Vince walks into an alien and three male strippers who dance around him. Dusty Rhodes stops Vince and wants to know what's going on. Dusty says there's one thing Vince has to do, and it's buy Dusty's new DVD.
I really do like the, I forgot how funny these WWE shop shows were.
Yeah.
Michael still does them best. This was good.
Mm-hmm. So we get the intro, and then Vince comes out and starts going down what he's going to do to DX, but Shane comes out, so Stephanie's gone into labor, so Vince has to leave. Vince mad about it. He's mad about Stephanie's timing and calls her a bitch, which kind of rude, but you know. Shane and Vince leave coach in charge. I'm sure everything will go well. I'm
sure everything will be just fine. We get a Braun Pangs tag team match. I hope this all will be really evolved from this. Speaking of Candace beat Tori and Maria.
Yes.
Charlie Haas versus Viscera got thrown out when the Spirit Squad came out and attacked both. They probably did us all a favor.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Spirit Squad. Kenny Dykstra got on the mic and called DX out. Triple H was on the screen and said that they'll be out later, but they have a surprise for now and told them to look up, and they got slapped.
Yeah. Good bit.
A good bit.
Coach tells the Spirit Squad that they have a plan for DX tonight. Just stick with it. And then they leave, and Paul Heyman shows up, and Coach says he doesn't have time to deal with this right now. And Heyman says he might want to hear him out. You know, Heyman's not here alone. He brought his ECW guys with him. Said that there was going to be an invasion, so now there has to be. And Paul's willing to negotiate. ECW was the highest rated show on cable last week, so he wants to give Raw a rub. What if Edge and Randy Orton come to ECW tomorrow and face Kurt Angle and RVD? Coach says that's fine. Paul says that, you know, last week John Cena hit Balls Mahoney with a chair and he wants revenge, so those two are going to wrestle tonight. Coach says that's fine as well. JR interviews Kane. Kane knows who the fake Kane is. It's someone he grew up with who is even more demented than he is. Wow. That's crazy. Then Umaga squashes a jobber.
Do you know who the jobber was?
I don't think so. I usually look it up, and if it's not someone I recognize, I don't put it in there. But
yeah,
probably one of the upstate New York guys that worked forever.
Yep.
John Cena against Balls Mahoney. Heyman hands Balls a chair, but Cena ducks it and locks in the STFU for the win.
Yeah, some dude named John McChesney.
Yeah. Sabu shows up.
Not
oh, there you
surprise.
Go. Sabu shows up and throws a chair at Cena's head. And then he does a triple jump through the announce table, which is impressive.
It was.
I don't think Sabu's very good, but I like when he throws chairs at people and does the triple jump.
You know, that's all he needed to do. I mean, yeah, he was never an in-ring.
Also, I like his music a lot.
Oh, his music is awesome.
So maybe he's fine. I think he's also very problematic.
He's somebody who you need to watch ECW.
Yeah.
Fully understand. This little snippet that he's in here for doesn't capture his essence.
Yeah.
You need to experience, like I said, just anything on ECW TV.
That's fair. Randy Orton gets a quick victory over Snitsky.
They're beating him up.
Yeah.
Wonder what for.
Coach overheard Carlito laughing at what DX did, so now Carlito has to be in a handicap match against Shelton and Johnny Nitro. But they're struggling to get on the same page, and Carlito almost wins with a roll-up, but then Nitro rolls him over and grabs the tights for the win. Nitro and Molina leave, and then Carlito hits Shelton with a backbreaker. So you don't know who is going to come out ahead on Sunday. Nope. They did a really good job not telegraphing it.
They did. I think Nitro's scored a lot of wins since coming over.
Yeah. Yes.
I think he's like 2-1. I don't think he's won all three of his matches.
Gotta heat him up, man. He's gonna be in the main title feud soon.
Yeah, he is. He is. So Coach got into his office and DX vandalized it with spray paint. He made him pretend that they didn't know who did it. Coach told Vince the show would go off without a hitch, so why don't they just work with him? Triple H says, that's fine. Three of them can sit and watch the rest of the show together. Eugene told Maria that he's going to get revenge on Umaga for what happened to Hacksaw. Rob Conway comes up and then they fight. Coach told DX that they're considering doing something tonight or Sunday. They'll have Vince to answer to. They put his head through a wall and spray painted DX on his ass.
Yeah.
And we did Edge versus Ric Flair with Mick Foley on commentary. Mick said that he was going to make his match with Rick an absolute disaster. As the ref was dealing with Lita, Mick put the mandible claw on Rick, and then Edge speared him for the win. RVD took Edge out and left through the crowd.
Yes. Spirit Squad seemingly have convinced the other heels in the locker room to stand up to DX. Is it going to work? Well, we'll see. DX comes out and they do their whole bit, and they lied about Stephanie. You know, they were the ones that told Shane to tell Vince. You know, how would they have known? Stephanie's fine, but they wanted to get Vince and Shane out of here. They call out the Spirit Squad, and instead it's five little people. And DX beats them up, and then they call him out again, and it's female cheerleaders, but Sean has to cover his eyes because, you know, he's a holy man now. And then eventually the actual Spirit Squad come out, and the heel locker room did not come out with them, and Triple H and Sean just kind of beat all of them up and send them running to the back to end the show.
Yes.
Kind of a mess, but it's fine. Yeah.
Then on that Tuesday night, June 20th, the Miami Heat beat the Mavs 95-92. D-Wade scored 36, had 10 rebounds. Miami won its first title in franchise history in six games.
Well, that's just bad luck for the second ECW to go up against that.
Yeah.
My God.
No wonder I don't remember this ECW.
I know that they made mention of the fact that some of them were live. I don't remember if this one was live.
Yeah, well,
they might have conceded.
I think it was on Tuesday.
I think
Tuesday,
this was
though,
live.
So,
the first couple of them were live.
Yeah, I think the first few of them were live.
Because they always aired them on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And then I think they started taping them before SmackDown.
Yeah.
We're on ECW from Albany. Take a look back at last week with a spooky fortune teller lady.
Wait, forgot one thing. On June 22nd, 2006, after only one season, New York Knicks president and general manager Isaiah Thomas fired head coach Larry Brown and then made himself the new head coach.
I'm sure it'll go well.
Yikes.
You got Sabu against Tony Mamaluke to open the show, and ECW Vixen Trinity is in Tony Mamaluke's corner. They're Vixens in ECW. They're not Divas. They're Vixens. Sabu does a triple jump and then sets up a table, but Tony brings it back into the ring and does a dive, which Sabu counters by throwing a chair at his head. Sabu crossbodies him through the table, brings him back in the ring, and puts on the camel clutch for the win. So he's getting heated up since he's facing John Cena again. Kelly Kelly's here. She's going to do her thing again this week. RVD's ready to team with Kurt Angle and tune up for Sunday. You know, they both have enemies that they need to address tonight, and they're going to work together. Big Show comes out, and Tommy Dreamer says that if Big Show wants to be in ECW, he's got to go through him, which Big Show does with not really any problem. Vampire's outside again. Sandman's here. He has a match against Macho Libre because Nacho Libre was in theaters at the moment, and Sandman Kane's in, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
John Cena's here. Roster goes out to confront him. He says that they know they have stuff planned for Sunday, so why don't they make it an extreme lumberjack match? And everyone agrees, and that's what Cena and Sabu are going to have, an extreme lumberjack match.
Yep.
Okay. Kelly does her thing, and she's getting her clothes off, and someone comes out and stops it. Who is this guy?
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. Who's that dude?
I don't really remember too much of Mike Knox. I don't think he's very good.
Yes, because that's all we remember of Mike Knox. Who's that?
Yeah, that's fair. So we move on to Rated RKO against Angle and RVD. One of the first times we've seen Edge and Orton really team up.
Yes, this is the first time that happens.
Yeah.
So there you go.
RVD throws a chair at Orton, which I enjoy. Kurt goes for an ankle lock on Edge. And Lita comes in and gets Angle slammed. And Orton hits the RKO, but RVD kicks him before he can go for the pin. Edge is going for the spear, but RVD hits him with the title and then hits the frog splash for the win. So, It's good. Good main event, at least.
Yeah, it's a good main event.
Progress from last week's show.
Agreed. Okay, so we can move to SmackDown here on June 23rd, 2006, from Albany, New York. The Miz ran down the card, and Booker T and Lashley will face off again. Mark Henry will face Rey Mysterio for the world title. In our opening match, Brian Kendrick and Paul London face the Mexican Pools for the WWE Tag Team titles. Super Crazy was going for the moonsault, however, Psychosis tagged himself in, went for a springboard leg drop and missed, and Kendrick pinned him. And then they started brawling, so the Mexican Pools are pretty much no more. And then Batista is coming back in 14 days, 2 weeks.
Yep.
Afterwards, Great Khali destroyed both Simon Dean and Tatanka in a match that ended in a no contest. Then Finlay faced Gunnar Scott. The Leprechaun came in with a shillelagh, but Finlay tackled him and pushed him back under the ring so he doesn't get disqualified. And then while Charles Robinson is distracted, he uses the shillelagh anyway on Gunnar Scott and gets the win.
Yeah. Fair enough. Then we get Vito asking Ashley if she would like to get dinner with him, and he wants to share some beauty tips. You know, really laying it on thick with Vito here. There's not really an end game to this, so I'm not going to question what the end game is. Chavo says the Guerreros believe in Rey tonight. Mark Henry says he doesn't really care about that. He's bigger than Rey and will dominate him. That's a good point. Booker T is in action against Bobby Lashley again. Didn't really explain why they're having another match, except Lashley asked for it, but I guess he's a fighter, so it makes sense. Whatever. Booker's trying to work the knee still. Finlay hits Lashley with the shillelagh while the ref is distracted, and Booker has the upper hand now, and then Finlay and Regal try to interfere again. Lashley hits them both with the chair for disqualification. If only they had a structure designed to keep people out.
Yes, if only. And then Ken Kennedy squashed Funaki. Then Teddy Long said that Booker T will face Bobby Lashley inside of a steel cage. Then move on to our main event between Rey Mysterio and Mark Henry for the world title. It's not really a great match. It's definitely signature big guy versus little guy. But just no real tease because Rey should win.
Yeah.
And all that. After a ref bump, Chavo came out with the chair, got taken down. Rey used the distraction, hit a 619 with the chair. Mark caught Rey on the West Coast pop, but Chavo got back up to his feet and hit Mark with the chair, then hit the mat and tossed the chair so that he got disqualified. So Rey retains the world title.
Yeah.
That's how SmackDown is. And now, before we talk about Vengeance 2006, just going to do a World Cup update because we have reached the round of 16 at this point in time. On Saturday, there were four matches. They were won by, or I'm sure, sorry, there were two matches. They were won by Germany and Argentina. Germany defeated Sweden 2-0, and Argentina defeated Mexico 2-1. And then on Sunday, in those two matches, David Beckham got a goal against Ecuador to push England through to the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, Portugal won 1-0 over the Netherlands to move on as well. So that to this point, we have completed a quarter of the round of 16 so far in the 2006 World Cup. And besides that, not too much is going on. The College World Series is heading towards a finale on Monday, which we'll talk about on the next episode, most likely. That's between Oregon State and North Carolina. And besides that, obviously, the NBA wrapped up. So not too much is really going on in the world of sports. So we can move on to Vengeance 2006 from Charlotte, North Carolina. Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle leads us off. And we've reached Kurt Angle's last pay-per-view match until he joins the Shield in 2017. Pretty crazy that we've gotten to this point in time. Kurt tried doing more mat wrestling at the start of things. Then later, towards the end of it, Kurt shoved Randy into the turnbuckle and Randy pulled the cover off. Kurt put Randy in the ankle lock, rolled Kurt through to the turnbuckle. Kurt came off dazed and confused, walked right into an RKO for the victory. So Orton prevails over Kurt Angle here on him. Then backstage, Vince was with a Make-A-Wish kid, but he treated it like a PX prank. Coach told him it wasn't. Not really cool.
No, I mean, yeah.
I get it, but no.
Yeah, that's fair. We move on to Umaga against Eugene. Armando Alejandro Estrada said that Eugene brought backup tonight. Probably just imaginary, so he's not concerned. But even if they're not, Umaga will just run through them all. Eugene comes out, brings out Hacksaw and Doink and Kamala, which was not expected. Umaga beats Eugene and then takes them all out except Kamala, who stares down Umaga as he retreats because they're going to have a match on Raw. So it'll be fun.
Yes, it will. Then we go to... Talking about that two and three falls match now?
Yep.
Okay, so Rick's family was here ringside, including Charlotte and the one married to Conrad. Reed and David were not there.
Nope.
Mick got a sock dressed like Ric Flair and Flair countered by putting it on the testicular claw. Flair got the first fall with an inside cradle out of nowhere. After brawling outside for a bit, Mick brought in a trash can while Rick has him in the figure four. He hit him in the trash can. The DQ wasn't
really that good. No, it was kind of a bad match. We move on to Carlito against Johnny Nitro against Shelton Benjamin for the Intercontinental title. Got Ric Flair's blood all over the ring. No, good start to this, though. And then, you know, they fight on the outside a bit. And then they do a Tower of Doom where, you know, Nitro's in the Tree of Woe and Carlito is kind of above him. And Shelton jumps up from the from the mat. And then Nitro, like, pulls him. Yeah.
German swipes
him. Yeah, very cool spot.
Very cool. That's just peak mid-2000s Shelton Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. Carlito hits a backstabber on Shelton, and then Nitro throws Carlito out of the ring and pins Shelton, gets the win. He's the Intercontinental Champion.
Like I said, this was a fun match.
Yeah.
It's a real fun match. It just, you know, it's they're going to continue having some pretty fun matches this summer, all these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So, fun to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. We get Edge against Rob Van Dam for the WWE Championship. Edge says the WWE title being in ECW is as ridiculous as the Stanley Cup being in North Carolina. Just like with the Stanley Cup, Canadians won the title for RVD. Edge and Lita are going to have another live sex celebration tomorrow after he wins the title. Edge did a sunset flip powerbomb to the outside, which I didn't know he could do that.
Yes.
Jar is mad at King because King's being kind of gross, if you can believe that. Edge is on the apron. RVD kind of cross bodies him to the floor. I don't really know what the plan was there, but it was very cool.
Yeah.
We get a ref bump, and then Edge grabs the title, but RVD does a spin kick to get it away. And Lita puts a chair in the corner for Edge to spear RVD through, but RVD moves, and Edge hits the chair, and then RVD does the frog splash for the win.
It's a really good match. This is, I think they said, I don't know how long the run went, but this is, like, one of the only WWE title matches between, like, 2005 and, I would guess, like, late 2007 that didn't have John Cena.
Yeah. That's it's also one of the rare ones that doesn't main event the show because they used to. They used to have the title matches close the show pretty
the time,
exclusively. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean they did a great job.
Yeah, very good.
They did a great job.
Between RVD winning and the Extreme Lumberjack match coming up, Paul Heyman's rallying the troops. But first, you get a fake Kane getting a win over Kane. You know, whatever. And then it's time for the Extreme Lumberjack match. You know, Sabu does the triple jump and the Arabian Facebuster.
Gotta play the hits.
And Cena counters it when he tries to do it again, by just hitting Sabu with kendo stick. And then Cena puts in the STFU and Sabu taps. It's only like 8 minutes. I mean, they really don't need to have a competitive match.
No.
Sabu can do his couple spots and,
exactly.
You know.
I mean, at the end of the day, this is John Cena.
Yeah.
You can't have your baby face, your top baby face lose that much.
Yeah, I mean, we can argue, and we did argue, you know, on the last show that I think Sabu was getting a little too much, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he beat Ray, and or he didn't beat Ray, but
he didn't beat Ray.
They did not finish.
They did not finish, exactly.
Cena heads backstage and comes across RVD, who puts him over for his bravery in dealing with ECW, and wants to offer Cena his WWE title rematch tomorrow on Raw.
Good segment.
Yeah.
Good segment. This is something, again, that the product current day is sorely lacking in.
Mm-hmm.
This was good, because it basically was, you know, there was two guys just putting each other over.
Well, yeah, and you know
what? They're adversaries, and they did. This is how you pro wrestle.
And they don't really ever announce anything in the pay-per-view for Raw, like, anymore. They just assume that you're going to watch, exactly. Which is fair. I mean,
fair, yeah.
If you're watching a pay-per-view, you probably are going to watch Raw, but, like, still. It's time for our main event, DX against the Spirit Squad. I mean, I get why it's the main event, but it just kind of feels like a match that they'd have on Raw. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing really special about it. Johnny broke his nose somehow. Just comes up with blood all over his face. Yeah. I don't know what happened there. DX gets the win, and then Mitch joins the Triple H Kiss My Ass Club. So well, they did what they had to do. Just it probably didn't need to be the main event, but I get it. But yeah, that was Vengeance.
All right.
It's fine.
Who are our kings of the ring? That's the same Nitro.
Yeah, I think Johnny Nitro is not a bad pick.
Well, I was going to say DX because they reunited, but you know what?
That's fair.
Yeah, DX too, yeah.
We can have, I mean, we did 2 weeks of TV and I think we can get on multiple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I say Nitro and DX are good choices.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I guess we can. All right, got to get out of here. Thanks for joining us so much. Remember, once we get done the SummerSlam, you'll have the third top 25. I don't know math. I'm not here to do math. That's why we have Chris. So peek out for that once we come out of SummerSlam starting next month. I guess that would be August. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm at Karen Ron Santo. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Rob's at RobinNeil31 at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Please go check out the new website. And thank you, as always, for all of your support. We'll be back. Talk about the fallout from Vengeance as we head into the Great American Bash right here on Ruthless Aggression. Have a good one.